Welcome to another Mark Tiley in the Morning MyTunes podcast.
Mark Tiley, the nation's station, Men's Radio.
It's lovely to be back with a brand new MyTunes guest as we start a new series here on Mark Tiley in the Morning. And my guest today may well have had you in the back of her car. Ooh, missus. Did I say that? I didn't mean to. Because for some years, she ran the lady chauffeurs here. But we're not going to start there. Nuala Tyson, welcome to My Tunes.
Thank you, Mark. Lovely to be here.
Sorry, that was a bit of a dodgy opening, wasn't it? You should have seen her in the back of my car.
No.
But that we'll talk about those days later. You grew up, well, there's a bit of Liverpool in there, but basically East London.
East London, yeah.
Yeah. So what was it like growing up there?
Oh, fantastic. Everyone was friendly and lovely, and there was a massive community, and everybody knew everybody. It was a bit like the Isle of Man, really, you know.
And your dad was working where?
My dad was a deep sea. He used to be a diver, and then he was a ship's captain, deep sea all around the world.
Yeah, so plenty of adventures to tell.
Oh, yeah, he was, you know, used to come home, like, it was an episode of Only Fools and Horses, when he used to say, you know, like Uncle Albert used to say, during the war,
yeah.
And just, oh, I remember the day when I was up the Suez Canal or, you know, in up the Amazon rainforest or something, and he actually had been, you know, he had so many lovely stories.
So schooling through there, met everybody. I mean, it must have been a little like me. I was West London, you were up in the East. But we had, I'm not saying all nationalities, but you had loads of different nationalities.
Absolutely.
At school.
And wasn't it brilliant? You could get anything in the shops. It was great having different nationalities. You learnt about their food and what they were eating and their culture and their music especially. You know, it was what everything was about in those days, wasn't it?
It certainly was. And I'm getting the idea. When we chatted earlier, in fact, we've chatted a few times about this, you were a bit of a rebel.
Yes.
And then that rebel went to none other than St Martin's Art School.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Wow. That must have been something.
It was amazing to be in there. I mean, a lot of the people that were there were quite privileged, and they had fathers that were already, you know, photographers and in the film industry and stuff like that. So it was quite good for connections, and the parties were amazing.
Yeah, but to get there as well, as you say, you weren't the daughter of a well-known photographer. You did it purely on your own merit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you. It was a good school.
Yeah. And what was your main line in the art school?
Fine art. So I did a lot of portraits and I did a lot of watercolours. And I had a couple of exhibitions in the Mull. So I won a few competitions. That Kellogg's school did a competition, and they did one in the schools. And I had an exhibition in the Mull Gallery once.
Well, congratulations. Now, the art school was not only a massive centre of discovery for art, but music.
Oh, my God.
And the rebellion presumably continued.
Yeah, everybody, you know, we'd had, you know, the three-day week or whatever. We'd had all the lights going out and we'd lived through all of that. And we just thought, this is our time now. So everyone was just having a good time and exploring what there was to explore. And working and being at art school in London was exposing you to so many different cultures and so much different types of music, really, you know.
And a lot of the bands of the day and a lot of the DJs of the day had that art school connection.
Yeah. Yeah, they did. It was a breeding ground because obviously in the student union halls, beers were cheap and there was a stage available for anyone that wanted to organise a gig, really.
And the sort of clubs you went to, talk me through some of those.
Madame Jojo's, the Wag Club. Boy George was at the Wag Club. And then there was another group called the Playground. And you'd have to meet on a motorway cafe or something, find out where the gig was. And then everyone went off to that place. And they were normally warehouses in London. Before the raves, you know, this was way before the rave scene sort of took off. But Camden Palace and all those kind of places, you know.
And the way you looked at that time would help you get into the exclusive parts of the club, didn't they? The way you dressed.
Yeah, and actually getting in, they used to walk, the door staff were always, you know, people like Boy George were on the door, so they used to walk down, and they only, and Steve Strange, and they only wanted people that looked the part. So it wasn't like girls would get in. You had to look really, really, really cool and good to get in. So we all dressed up to the nines, and you got chosen to go into the club, you know.
And what was your definitive look of that era? Talk me through it. I must see a picture at some stage, but tell me about it.
Yeah, I did have a white Mohican for about a year and a half.
How high?
About 3 inches.
Wow.
And we used to go to the Chelsea cruises and hang around in the King's Road, and people used to take your photo. And yeah, London was a really kicking place to be, really.
The Chelsea cruises, if you weren't around at that time, were all about, well, there was customised cars, weren't they? The old Ford Zodiacs and everything all jacked up at the back, and big engines popped in the front. Great days.
Yeah, and all rockabillies. There was a lot of rockabilly, because it went from punk into rockabilly into the Durands, you know.
I love this first choice. No one's chosen it. You're the first one to choose it, and I'm over the moon. Talk us into it, Nuala.
It's the Sex Pistols and Anarchy in the UK, because it kind of sums up the mood. And when they got kicked off the Bill Grundy show, whatever, they were like heroes, really. And the Queen had a jubilee. They weren't allowed to do that. So it was just like the pulse. That was the pulse of the music at the time, really.
Right.
It's great to be back, Ronnie, as somebody once said. And here we are with a brand new MyTunes guest for you, Nuala Tyson. Nuala, we'll talk about coming to the Isle of Man probably tomorrow, but there's a lot more to explore in London and where you worked and where you played and Anarchy in the UK yesterday. What a kickstart to the week.
It's brilliant, isn't it? It just summed up the mood.
Thank you. So art school, was it 3 years?
Yeah.
Talk me through what happened after that.
And then I would been working in Topshop for quite a long time because we were in all the clubs and we spotted the trends and things like that. They wanted me to work in the Oxford Circus store. So I started working there and then I went off and did store openings. But Ralph Halpin used to pay us to go to the clubs to see what everyone was wearing. And then we had to like get samples of what people were wearing or turn up in the gear the next day and show them. And then he would instruct the buyers to go off and buy it. So we had Miss World there, we had Pepsi and Shirley, we had the DJs under the stairs, didn't we?
Oh, the Topshop Radio.
Yeah.
You did, of course you did.
So we had guest people that used to come in. So it was a really good, fantastic place to work, really.
I knew quite a few guys who used to work on that. There was a biscuit factory was one, and the Topshop Radio, and the major radio stations would get their next talent from there.
Yeah.
They'd come and source it.
And Vic Reeves used to do some guest spots there, but he mainly worked up in the Newcastle Topshop, which right. had a radio Topshop as well. But he did used to come down and play some tunes. It was like a cupboard under the escalator, really. But they used to play in there. But it was known for like being on the pulse and knowing what was going on. In
yeah, I mean, fashion's a funny thing, isn't it? By the time it goes mainstream, it's already over.
Yeah, and especially in London, you know, that's why you had to be in the clubs at the time because they were like the breeding ground for what was going on. And then on the Monday, we'd show the buyers and things and then they'd be in. And then it would go out to all the other stores. But Oxford Circus was the flagship store where we did the testing for what would move. But you knew that you could buy, you could go to Kensington High Street and go to the market there,
yeah.
see what was going on. And then we could get it. Do the testing in Oxford Circus Topshop and then it would go mainstream.
How long would something last on a rail? If you've picked up an idea, you got it produced, how long was that window?
Things like, for example, the Wham guys, yeah. when and we had Pepsi and Shirley in the store quite a lot and them, and they, you know, what was it? Choose Life t-shirts.
Yeah.
You couldn't keep the arms stocked up with it. They were just, you know, and everybody was coming in from all around the world because of the music scene and because of the shopping. And you just, you know, you'd get through, you sell thousands of T-shirts. That's not a lie, thousands of those yeah. T-shirts every single day.
Unbelievable. We should have another piece of music from that sort of era. And someone who you've already mentioned in the clubs, but you got to know Boy George a bit.
Yeah, Boy George was a really good DJ. And the girl that I was sharing a flat with in Clapham, she worked for Sheila Teague and Wendy Dagworthy. And they used to make all, you know, designer clothes. They were a bit like Vivian Westwood. They all came from the same training ground. And we were waiting to go out one night and Debbie couldn't go out because she had to finish sewing this garment. And we were like, we all burst into her room and said, right, what we got to do, you know, needle and thread. So we were sewing, it was a long white coat and we had to sew these musical notes on. And it wasn't till later on because she wasn't allowed to say anything. And then he was on Top of the Pops with this coat on and we sewed all the musical notes on so that he could get out and do it. And then he wore it in the club and we're going, oh, we sewed those on, sewed those on.
I remember seeing him wearing that. Yeah. So you were sewing away some of the
so
notes.
So Debbie could get out. It was like, hurry up, you know.
Fantastic. So it's got to be a bit of Boy George. Yeah. What are we going to have?
Come a Chameleon.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
great to be back in the MyTunes chair with my special guest all this week, Nuala Tyson, who had a wonderful, wonderful Lady Chauffeurs on the Isle of Man. But we've been talking London, we've been talking fashion, we've been talking Boy George. But at some stage, and I think he said it was in the 70s, your mum and dad came to the Isle of Man.
Yeah, he wouldn't move to Ireland, so he said, I'll take you halfway home, Maria, because my mum was from Ireland, my dad was Scouse. So he'd had a relationship with the Isle of Man since he was a boy coming on holidays. And he actually used to bring ships in for Stephen Carter, and he did a bit of piloting for Stephen. And so then he decided that they would move here. So they moved here in the 70s. And because I was the only one that wasn't married, I was single, I used to load my car up with presents for my mum and dad from all my family, get in the car, and I just used to get a wave of excitement getting on the M25 and then getting up to drive up to Liverpool to get the ferry to come into the Isle of Man. And I used to play this in the stop the tape all the time and rewind it and play it.
We won't tell them what it is.
No, yet, no.
We'll hold that back. So when you started coming over and your mum and dad had moved here,
yeah,
did you think at that stage maybe I will live there, or was it not really on your horizon?
It wasn't, because I was working in the West End of London then, and it wasn't busy enough for me. And I don't, in those days, when the Irish girls left in October, it was like tumbleweed down the prom. Everything closed down and there wasn't much going on. So it really wasn't for me, and I was still, you know, kicking ass in London, really.
Yeah.
So Dad said, would I come and live with Mum over here? And I said, absolutely not. But later on, obviously, the time was right for me to do that. But, you know, thinking about coming home to see my mum and dad, I used to get really excited.
Yeah.
But and I loved the island then.
When you did come over, how long did it take you to settle?
Not long, really, because I'd already been here quite a lot for my parents. I moved over in 2008, and I moved over in the March, and then by the October, because I knew what the Manx winters were like, I actually decided I needed to get a job. So I went into M&Co, and then I did all the charity work.
That's where we first met.
Yeah.
That's where we first met.
Yeah.
M&Co, charity, big things together with Manx
fashion
Radio.
Shows.
Yeah, fashion shows. Yeah, lovely.
And raising money for Dreamcatcher, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. We should really now just talk a little bit about Lady Chauffeurs. How did that idea come about?
I just noticed, and being a female myself, just at night time there was no female drivers. There's nothing wrong with the male drivers, they're all lovely guys, but I just thought it would be a really good service to introduce, and it was, and it just went from strength to strength, didn't it?
Well, I absolutely loved using your cars, because I never knew how you were going to dress it up. They were always... Talk about Chelsea, the old crews. They were pimped up with lights and little bits and fairy lights and little maybe teddy bears or bits of sweeties. You were amazingly... It was a fashion show inside the limo.
Yeah. It's any event. And once you've been in retail, if there's a marketing opportunity, I can't help it. So the girls dressed up as well, and we dressed the cars up for Halloween. We dressed the cars up for Valentine's Day. We dressed the cars up for Easter and gave little Easter eggs.
Yeah.
You know, it was just, yeah, it was lovely, wasn't it? It was my little shop window, wasn't it?
It was brilliant. Do you miss it?
I miss people, and I miss being around people. I miss the buzz of it, because even though we obviously weren't drinking, everyone else was, and you'd think you'd had a night out, because you'd hear all the gossip and where everyone had been and what restaurants were good, and you felt part of their night, and everybody really loved the service. You know, even at Christmas time, we used to turn the music up really loud and let people sing Christmas songs and things like that. So, you know, it was, yeah, I miss the customers, and I miss the buzz, you know.
Was it not sustainable? I'm trying to think why
Daddy got really, really ill, and I thought, I can't do both, because that was a big job, and I was the only person here, and he needed looking after. And I don't regret it at all, because obviously he died last year. So, but I had him from 2017 till 2020. Yeah. So, you know, it was good to spend that time with him.
You mentioned the track right at the beginning. Let's have it now. This is you coming to see your mum and dad on the Isle of Man. What is it?
It's Driving Home for Christmas.
I make no apologies for this Christmas record at this time of year. We love it.
We love it.
Thank you.
see those faces. I'm driving home for Christmas, yeah. Well, I'm moving down that line, and it's been so long, but I will be there. I sing this song to pass the time away, driving in my car, driving home for Christmas. It's gonna take some time, but I'll get to me. He's just the same, just the same.
My guest this week grew up in a very multicultural East London, and art school, Boy George, hanging out with the stars. But today, we're going to go back, because we got you to the Isle of Man yesterday. We want to go back to the big, big soul weekends that were a huge part of your life, because they were massive multicultural events, weren't they?
Yeah. A song that was, but it was by the Cold North Sea, yeah, in Yarmouth, and it was freezing, and we all stayed in caravans for the weekend. But really, the music played non-stop. They used to do all-nighters and things like that, and we just stayed in the dance hall really and just danced, and it was lovely because there was all types of different people, and there was people, we were all in tribes, and it was all people from Newcastle, from everywhere. It's a bit like the TT really. You don't see each other, and then you're on the motorway, and when you're heading towards Caister, you're seeing everybody with the banners hanging out the windows, and then you don't see each other till the next year. But I went for 8 years. It was going for about 3 or 4 years before I started going, but then we started going, and it was just a magical, magical family
time. And what era was that?
It was sort of when the Durans were about 80s. In the 80s.
Yeah, because we'll come back to it, because we're going to play out a track that we haven't played on this programme ever, and it is brilliant. That's a little tease. Let's go to TT, because you mentioned the TT and all the gang coming back. Because you marshalled for, what, 10 years?
10 years at the Craig, yeah.
Wow.
And it's a bit like that, really, because you never saw them, those people. Don't know where everyone went, but everyone went back to England mainly. And then you'd get a little buzz the day before and everyone would be sending you texts saying, we're here. And it was like getting the family back together, you know, your little crew, and you knew you could trust everybody up at the Craig. You knew everybody knew what they were doing. And we did have a few incidents up there, but they knew, and you all knew what your jobs were, and you just got on and did it. And this, you know, going to the Case the Soul weekend was kind of like that. That was the same vibe. Everybody had fun. There was never any trouble. There was bucket of water fights and things like that. You walk around a corner, you get shaving foam thrown at you and stuff like that. But it was in good humour. It was good fun, you know.
I mean, on the marshalling front, talk about unsung heroes. I mean, without the marshals, there's no TT.
No, there isn't.
There's no racing whatsoever. And the dedication of people who come year after year is incredible.
My friends that I used to marshal with up there, they still come. And Graham and Merrill have been coming for 50 years.
Five zero
years. And they've been coming like for the TT and the Manx, and they take their holidays when they were working, they brought their kids. So there's a whole group of people that have been doing it for that length of time, and that is what they love it, they live for it, you know. That's so we do owe them a massive debt of gratitude, you know. They're amazing people,
and hopefully it'll be back in all its glory next year.
Yeah, let's hope so.
We need
it, don't we?
Yeah, we definitely need the island. It's not the same without
no,
it.
No.
Really is not. Talk about tumbleweed. Yeah. It's not. You mentioned that. What's next for you, Nuala? What's next?
Well, I'm into cold water swimming and things like that. So I'm looking at maybe starting a wellness centre, a holistic wellness centre, because I've been a Reiki practitioner since the 80s. And I've just done a Swedish massage course and anatomy, physiology and pathology course. So that's where I'm sort of heading at the moment.
Wow. Interesting stuff. Would that, are you thinking here?
Yeah, here.
The Isle of Man. Well, best of luck with that.
Thank you, darling.
Caister, what a night, what a weekend. They were amazing. They still have the reunions.
Still have the reunions, yeah.
And what are we going to have to wrap up the week?
Well, they used to play on a Sunday night when we'd all just be crying all the way through this song because we didn't want it to end. And because of the problems in the community and stuff like that, Caister, there was never any trouble. It was multicultural. And Chris Hill was the main DJ, really. And he just used to say, we're all one big, huge family. And then he put this on, and the floor used to go mad, and everyone used to be doing whoa, whoa, and all the silly little things that we used to do. But it was just an amazing weekend.
And it's Billy Paul, Bring the Family Back.
Whoa, whoa.
Love it. Nuala, thank you.
Thank you, Mark.
And all the best for the new ventures.
Thank you.
Together. there's also the children. The future's just quickly coming their way. How it will be, oh, tell me, how do you think it will be? Will they all join hands together and live in harmony? Oh, what a shame.
Oh, what a shame.
If we don't get together fast, oh, what a shame.
What a track. What a wonderful selection of music and so many great memories from my guest this time around, Nuala Tyson. Keep coming back here to manxradio.com for more podcasts as they're being added every day. I'm Mark Tiley, by the way. Don't forget to join me for the Shore Morning Show Monday to Friday, 9:30 until 12.